In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I would like to share one more story to add to the account of the repentant woman that we just heard in our gospel reading. The story I'd like to add concerns a man named Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter. She is quite ill, on the point of death. And Jairus, grieved at the state of his little girl, begs Jesus to come and heal her. And while they're on their way, news reaches them. The little girl has died. Your daughter has died. And when Jesus gets to the house, the grief is unimaginable. Tears, wailing, calling out, crying out, praying, hugging, flute players are playing mournful songs. And in the middle of this chaos, in the middle of this grief, Jesus tells the parents, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." And of course, Jesus raises her from the dead. Now, an interesting part of this event is that while Jesus and Jairus were still on their way, walking toward his house, a woman who had a flow of blood 12 years sneaked her way through the crowd and touched the Lord's robe, and she was healed. And Jesus, not letting her get away unknown, calls her out of the crowd and declares her faith to all. So I'd like us to keep in mind these three stories for a moment. Jairus and his wife grieving over the death of their 12-year-old daughter. The woman with a flow of blood grieved at her 12-year infirmity. And then from our gospel reading, the woman who wept at the Lord's feet grieved at her own sins. Because each of these three are dealing with grief. Each a different kind of grief, yes, but grief nonetheless. Now, as I welcome you to this Advent's service of spiritual healing, I would like to focus on our theme of healing and grief. Now, grief is not just sadness. It's not just feeling down. It's also not clinical depression. Now, grief can be accompanied by these things, but grief is its own animal. Grief is its own beast. It's its own thing. It's a mourning over some loss and some pain that stays, that permeates your life, maybe for a time, maybe for a while, maybe for years, in certain cases for life. In some cases, it's always going to be there. And while there are limitless ways and causes of grief, I'd like us to consider three general ones this evening, three areas of grief that we all probably experience, have experienced, and will experience. And the first is probably also the most likely to come to mind when you think of grief. When I think of grief, I immediately think of losing someone that I love, or when something bad happens to someone I'm close to. A death, an accident, an illness. When something awful befalls a family member or a dear friend, and we grieve, especially when it's a death, we experience a deep and unconsolable mourning, and depending on the circumstances, it can last a very long time. And we're pained not only by our loss, but we're kind of bewildered. This grief makes us bewildered that the rest of the world can just go on around us. When we are in deep grief, we can't believe that the world continues. Even our fellow mourners, they eventually retreat over time. Not because they're uncaring, it's just because they don't have the same grief that we're feeling. And yet our grief remains. We grieve when bad things happen to those we love. Now, second grief is when something bad happens to us, to me, to myself. The woman with the flow of blood, you know, that was more than just a debilitating medical condition. To the Jews, blood caused defilement. That led to religious and social isolation. 12 years of no touching. Can you imagine not touching another human being 12 years? No hugs, no hand-holding for 12 years. No synagogue, no church, as it were. No shared meals, because you can't touch the same plate, the same serving plate. She was undoubtedly grieving over her infirmity. And ironically, we are often socialized not to grieve over ourselves. It's selfish. It's whiny. There are people who have it much worse than you. Buck up. You know, this is the kind of thing that we think. But is that human? Is that really godly? Now, to be sure, there is an unhealthy wallowing that can occur with self-grief. But just because that's an extreme on one side, does that mean that there's not an unhealthy extreme on the other side too, which is not to acknowledge the grief at all, to suppress the reality that I grieve sometimes when things happen to me? 2.5 years ago, I woke up one morning to discover I had lost sight in my left eye, completely. I mean, I could see light, but that was it. You don't realize how much of your vision depends on having two eyes until you lose the ability in one of them. Try finding a paperclip in a drawer with one eye shut. It's not easy. And when reality set in that certain things were never going to be the same, I grieved. I still do a little bit, I think. Now, do I wallow in self-pity? I hope not. Maybe on a rough day a little bit. Are there people worse off than I am? Let's not ask foolish questions. But is this really a contest? Is this really a contest? The reality is that we do grieve when something bad is happening to me. When a person is diagnosed with a disease, they grieve. You know, Hannah grieved so deeply when she was unable to get pregnant, words stopped coming out of her mouth. Her prayer was so intense and so deep was her grief that her lips kept moving even when the sound had stopped. The paralytic was so grieved at his inability to walk that he laid by a pool for 38 years. And when Jesus asks him if he wants to be healed, all he can say is, "Someone always gets in before me." There's grief in those words. You and I, we grieve when something bad happens to us. The third grief I want us to consider this evening is the grief over the things we do or the things we have done. In our gospel, we heard this woman, this known sinner, hears Jesus is in a certain house, and she party crashes. She walks right in. But she's not going there to eat and drink. She's going there to find God. She's going there to repent. Her grief over her own sins is palpable. She starts to weep so profusely that she soaks his feet, and they need to be dried off with her hair. And I think if you live in this world long enough, you will do 3 or 12 or 40 things or 70 times 7 that hurt another person. If you have a heart, you will grieve sometimes over what you have done. And sometimes that grief can be debilitating. Yet within these types of grief, things that happen to a loved one, things that happen to me, or things that I have done to others, they all have something in common. All these types of grief have something in common, and that is this: healing is possible. Healing is possible. When it comes to grief, healing is possible. And what I'm about to say is extremely important. It will not always be healing from grief. It will not always be healing from grief. Sometimes the most that can happen is healing in grief. Some grief will not end in this lifetime, and frankly, some grief shouldn't. Some grief shouldn't. But still, even with a grief that will not end in this lifetime, there can still be healing within that grief. If you notice in every one of the stories that I shared about grief, the healing comes when Jesus Christ enters the situation. When God enters, life changes. When God touches something, that something cannot remain the same. This season of Advent, and we know Advent means the approach or the arrival, This season of Advent, the season of the arrival of Jesus Christ, the arrival of God with us, the arrival of Emmanuel himself, the God who willed to weep and grieve with us, in this season of Advent, grief can be changed because God is with us, because Emmanuel, and because God is with us, and because Emmanuel is not just a story from long ago. It's not just words on a page. Emmanuel, God with us, happens here. It happens now. It happens this very evening. This evening, Jesus forgives the person grieving so hard over their own sins, they soak the Lord's feet with their tears. This evening, Jesus exalts the faith and courage of the person grieving in chronic illness or a seemingly hopeless situation. This evening, Jesus even says to those who grieve over death, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And even though in the face of death, we wait a lifetime to be reunited with those who are departed, we have the Lord's ultimate promise. She will be made well. The day is coming where she will be made well. And in God's time, that's a blink of an eye. But this evening, healing in grief can happen. And so may we, as we celebrate the Lord's coming, as we receive Emmanuel, God with us, as we consider the ways we grieve over that which happens to others, over that which happens to me, over that which I've done to somebody else, may we begin to find healing even in our grief. Amen. Amen. Thank you.